Come on. any police are on the scene. At Yeshiva University, we're extremely proud that our Talmidim are all there for the same common goal, to be Mekabel Torah, for continued growth, for continued limud, and it's therefore no wonder that the chevra that you'll find in the Beis Midrash at YU is the best chevra that you can find anywhere. And finally, I just want to express my deep sense of Hakaras HaKol to Rav Weinberger for joining us tonight. Rav Weinberger, who has spent his life inspiring others in his tehillah at YU and nearly around the world. And Rav Weinberger is actually coming to the end of a three-month sabbatical, in which, in his attempt to remain anonymous, has passed on dozens upon dozens of speaking opportunities throughout Eretz Yisrael. But when I called on behalf of the Talmidim, on behalf of our Talmidim, thankfully Rav Weinberger readily agreed. And so it is a tremendous chus. After Nachman and Mr. Shem leaves us with a few more songs, that we'll have this tremendous chus of hearing from Rav Weinberger Shmita.
Shabbat shalom. Zes mooie vrouwen die haar moeder, al die bewegingen hier. I also want to give a big yeshakayach to Rabbi Farlach and to Rabbi Cohen. A special big yeshakayach to Yeshiva, to my dear friend Rav Penner, back in New York, for thinking day and night about, not just about the Yeshiva, but about how to bring together all of the chevra for a moment like this and other times. This is one of the highlights of my year. It's not like I had to be forced to come here. I look forward to being here with you so much. This, to me, something mashum yuchad miyuchad. Normally I'm here for 2 days and I'm running and I go back, but I was here, Baruch Hashem, for some time. A little bit more Yishev Hadas. It's a thrill for me to be here with you. I wish that the time will come soon that we'll be able to be together to help the Mashiach that came. I'm not giving a shiur now. I think there are many, many shiurim over the years. I want to talk to you about something very, very direct. A simple place inside of me, to that simple place inside of you, each and every one of you, mamash. Very often I say over the verse from the Rebbe of Melech about the Dabal Kim, the whole Hakdom of the Kabbalah Torah, the Dabal Kim is called Dvar Melech, Anoich Hashem Elokecha. And there's a Torah from the Rebbe of Melech that Hashem's Baruch Gevor is called Dvar Ha'ela. All of these words, all of these mitzvahs, all that's involved in being Jews, there's so much. Evi Mesechta, the Rambam, Shechem Aruch, and Yishayim, and Achreinim. But the Baruch Shalom said when he gave us the Torah, I double him, it's called Ramei Lelaimer, but I want you to tell the Jews the most important thing. That the tachlis of all of this is one thing, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Kol Hadvar Me'ela, all of these things that we do in our lives, from the moment we come to the world and our parents do for us, and then we begin ourselves until the Zibulabas rises, until we leave this world. It's for one tachlis. The tachlis is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. To be able to say those words, Kedabi Ish El Re'eyu, like the Tushas Levi says, and Avad Yisrael, the Kushas Samagi. To be able to say Baruch Ata Hashem, to say those words and to feel that you're talking mamish mamish to your father, to your dearest friend. And every single talk that I've ever given is just to try to explain this, to try to come to taste a little bit of this. There's a ma'aseh with the Rebbe Maharash from Lubavitch Chusig and Leinu. Like all of the Nesim of Chabad, he was an unbelievably deep thinker. And once the Rebbe was walking around, and he went past the area where Jews were allowed to be. There were sections where Jews were not allowed to go to in town. And the Rebbe Marash was thinking, and he went by himself. He used to go a lot on these little spatsiers, these little tiulim. He liked to go by himself, no gaboy. He would go to walk, and he would think. And the Rebbe Marash was in one of these little walks that he took, and he forgot where he was. He went past the boundaries. The Jews were not allowed to go. And there was a Russian soldier, of course. And the Russians screamed out at him to stop, to stop. And the Rebbe didn't hear him at all. Just kept on walking. Finally, the soldier comes up to him and grabs him. And he yells at him in Russian. He yells at him, "Who are you? What are you doing here? Who are you and what are you doing here?" So the Rebbe Marash came out of his dveikus and he listened again. He said, "What?" And the Russian yelled at him, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" So the Rebbe Marash, he could have gotten killed, but he said to this guy, "How much do you make a day doing this?" like, you know, stopping people and stuff. How much do you make a day doing this? So he was so taken aback by the chutzpah, this Russian soldier was so taken aback, he actually answered. And he said, I make 10 rubles a day doing this. So the Rebbe Ramash said to him, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you 10 times the 10 rubles. So every single day of my life, you'll stop me and yell at me, who are you and what are you doing here? Who are you and what are you doing here? This is a lot of fun to get together. Each one of you has to feel already this time in your lives you're not children anymore. You have to feel not a Cossack shaking you, but you have to feel the master of the world shaking you in a sweet and gentle way, but shaking you and asking you, who are you and what are you doing here? Who are you? And what are you doing here? So let's talk a little bit about that. I don't think they're predicting snow. I remember a few years ago we were in Rishis and they're predicting snow. I don't know if the time limitations are not going to go so long. But it's early, it's very early still. So a few minutes. Who are we and what are we doing here? You know, this time of the year, this tkufa that we're in, of these parashiyos, has a special name. What are these weeks called, Chavah? What are they called? Shayvanim. If somebody would have asked me that when I was in this building years ago, it's already a long time ago, I would not have had the answer, Shayvanim. I didn't know. Nobody spoke to us about Shayvanim. I heard that Shuvah Bonim Shayvanim, Shayvanim, I didn't know what that meant. That there are weeks of Shayvanim, and you all know that. What is the meaning of that? Now we know that these parashiyos of Shmos and Ve'era, Boy, Shalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, we know that these are weeks that Hashem Yisbarach took us out of the Rishus of Tumah. He removed us from a place of impurity. In that place, the world headquarters, Ervas Aretz, of the Sitrach of the other side, that Hashem Yisbarach removed us from the Rishus of Tuma, and that He brought us suddenly into a world of Kedusha. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and He brought us through the Yom, and then He brought us to Har Sinai. And then we had the Mishkan. We built a Mishkan for the Shechina. And from there, our journey to Yerushalayim began. So we know that these are parashiyos of leaving the world of Tumah and looking for the world of Tahar, of Kedusha, looking for something better. How do you understand? But everybody here knows that the Inyan Shayvahim is more than that. And you know that it's not found anywhere in Torah Shebichsav. It's not found anywhere in Torah Shebaal Peh. The Inyan Shayvahim we understand through the Mekubalim that it's an Inyan that we see and we understand that the Baruch Shalom wanted to be revealed primarily when? Now, at the end of time. There were Yechidim, great Tzaddikim, that engaged in Tanaisim and fasts and all kinds of things, all kinds of Tikkunim. And there's still some Yechidim that do those kind of things. But the Shoivavim should be something that all of you are able to answer. Shoivavim, and that means that many of you have been thinking about it and working on it. It's something that's part of that world of Torah Sanista, of the hidden part of Torah, the secrets of Torah. That Hashem Yisbarach wanted and saved and reserved for us. to us for now, as a people. Again, Yechidim had it, but as a people, not in Torah Shemachsav, not in Torah Shalal Peh. Aleph. Beis. The subject of tshuva is one that you and I have a hard enough time focusing on during Elul and Tishrei, correct? The shiur that I gave years ago on the Rosh Hashanah, and somebody was telling me that they were put into one of the guys put them into a sefer, and somebody was telling me that he enjoys, he takes it out to look at it before Rosh Hashanah. But who would take out a Rosh Hashanah like now? That's not the only thing that's prevented it from being a bestseller. But who would take out a Rosh Hashanah? Who lives out a Rosh Hashanah in Shvat? We have that part of our lives in the time of the year that we try our best, each person in his own way, to work on that. Of course, tshuva is every moment, every day of our lives. But there already was a tkufa of Elul and Tishrei a couple of months ago. He said plenty of slichas. The Svadim said the whole Elul slichas. Ashkenazim begin, of course, for Rosh Hashanah, and through Rosh Hashanah, Elul Rosh Hashanah, says to me tshuva Yom Kippur. Shana Rabba. What's the chiddush of Shaiva? What is this thing of revisiting the tshuva that we thought that we had already been through? That time that we had already focused on that avoider of tshuva. So I told you at the beginning that I wanted to speak to you in a very, very simple and clear way. It's not a shiur. And if I don't want to weigh you down with my kindness, and I didn't give you any pages to look at, just to try to talk simple and to think about who we are and why we're here. What's the chiddush of shiur? The Dorein, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Guys like us, where we come from. I come from the same background that you come from. I'm a little bit older than most of you, but I come from the same background. I went to Yeshiva University. I come from a similar background. What does Shavuot say to us? There are two types of relationships. There are two types of kshar. This is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's with each other, your husband and wife, parents and children. The first type of a kesher, the first type of a relationship, is one that is based on responsibility. It's very important. These past 2 years in Yeshiva, I've been talking a lot about achrayus. It's based on responsibility. The Baruch Shalom trusts us. Botach bo leiv bayim. He trusts us and us alone with his Torah. He trusts us that we are going to be able to be the ones and the only ones who can be megala kvod shemaim to make a dir batach toyim for the Shekhinah in this world through keeping Torah mitzvahs. And in order to accomplish that, as is explained by Riches and Tanya, the ikur is a life of Torah mitzvahs. And there are many, many obligations and responsibilities. Kol advarim ha'eila. Kol advarim ha'eila. So therefore, in these parashiyos and mishpatim, na'aseh v'nishma, a commitment to doing, to learning halacha, to observing halacha. Similarly, in a marriage, the Mishneh Ksubis, and the Gemara, of course, is Marach. There are responsibilities that a husband has to a wife, and that the wife has to her husband. They're achayis. The Mishnah tells us jobs that need to get done. If you're married, you have responsibilities. Some of these are spelled out clearly in the Ksuba. Others are not. But the Mishnah and the Gemara, Shemarach, teach us what are the chiyuv, what are those responsibilities? Because Yiddishkeit is a tafkid. And we shluchim to carry out the will of the Creator of all worlds. When the Chet HaEgel took place, Hashem's wife, that's us, Knesset Yisrael, failed. Aluva Kalu, Chazal says such an upsetting loss. Aluva Kala, I don't even translate to English, but it's so embarrassing, so shameful that the Kala is unfaithful under the chuppah. Under the chuppah, Har Sinai. How, why? It's not for them. But we didn't live up to Hashem's expectations. And we reneged on our responsibilities. And that brought terrible, terrible churban to our lives. Because that's why we were created. That's one type of a relationship. Commitment, commandments, responsibility. That's aleph, aleph, aleph. But nobody here, no one, those of you who are married, and those of you who Mitzvah Shem are going to be married, but ever Bishatov was last. Nobody here would ever dream of a marriage that is based primarily upon responsibility. Everything has to get taken care of. All of the mitzvahs have to be observed. And in the family, the husband has his job, and the wife has hers. And it's essential that all of those are respected by the husband and wife. But the basis of the relationship, the yesod of the relationship, but that under the when they're going out, the chasna kala, the dream that the kala has is I finally have some guy that can change light bulbs for me. That's if she's lucky, right? My wife is not so much. Somebody could change light bulbs, somebody could, you know, bring home a parnasa. Yeah, it's very chashuv. This is what she's dreaming about, the kala. I never saw anybody that could put in a light bulb like you. It's not right. And that's what he's thinking about in a wife. That's the sheirish of their relationship, the extent of their relationship. Now the chassam looks at the kala and says, "Harayam agudeshesli v'tabaz ugudas moishiviz." Right? Now, the minhag of Yisrael is to be mekadesh a woman with the tabaz. And the Svar Makdash will talk about that. Rabbi Leib Leigas Chus Yelenam. Rabbi Leib Leigas says that the minhag is to be mekadesh with tabaz. There are some different minhagim, by the Mekubal and the Mesvardim and so on, but the general minhag is that it should be a tabaz. It's round. Somehow there's a circle and a square and a circle, but it's round. And Rabbi Leib Leigas says that the tabaz of kedushin is shaped like the letter samach. Because Samach is Soymach Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim, and Soymach Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim means that when they're standing under the chuppah, the kala is looking at the chassan, the chassan standing there with the ring with the tabas, and it's very easy to buy one of these rings, they're not even so expensive, and it's easy to say the words. But in her heart, her hope is that Soymech Hashem Lachalanaifna, that this person who I'm marrying is going to support me, not just financially, that what I'm falling is going to hold me, it's going to take care of me. And his hope is that she's going to give me chazik me and give me chiyus in everything that I do in my life that I want to accomplish. But the Sforim say that the inyan of breaking the glass and to remember Yerushalayim, that the chosn and kala are saying to each other that, you know, many things in this world get broken. Even Yerushalayim is broken. And yesh shever b'mitzrayim. Golus is a time of tzibrochenkeit. There are many things that are broken in life. And there are many things that come and they go. People that you meet and you forget. Experiences that you had and they pass. But ani va'ata, the kala is saying, ani va'at, and the chosn is saying, two of us, no matter what happens, no matter what's a brachenkeit, no matter what's broken around us, we're going to be here for each other. We're going to take care of each other with Hashem's help. Samach, samach Hashem l'chol amayv. The shoresh of that relationship between chosn and kala is described in Shir HaShir. The whole Megillah, the whole Sefer of Shir HaShir, every single word of Shir HaShir, of Heviyani HaMelech Hadar, of Dodi Liv HaAni Lai, Your Father, Ayosik Yetir, even Brach Dodi at the end of Dmeluch, every word of Shir HaShir is a description of the shirish of a relationship that Hashem has brought wants us to have with our wives and wants us to have kiryochel with him. The whole shirishim is a moshel. The moshel itself is important, but the nimshel is kutshibichel shchinte. It's Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. It's not just a matter of chiyuvim or responsibilities. It's not just the sif katan in the Mishnah Berurah, which is important. You have to keep it. It's not just that, and that's not why Hashem has created us just for that. All of the dvarim ha'ela are to bring us, to lift us up to a place of anochi Hashem Elokecha. Of Shir HaShir. Ani l'daydi v'daydi li. Therefore, by the Chet HaEgel, when that chuppah was destroyed because of what happened, says in Pasuk and Kisisa, Leishosu Ish Edyolo, which means they took off their adornments, right? Their jewelry. Which Chazal tells us are the crowns that we receive from the angels, the Malachim, Nasa, Nishma, the crowns, the adornments. But the Mekubalim say, the Megalamukas of the Tzadikim say, it's like a ring was taken off the finger of the Kal. That Hashem Shabbos said, give me back my ring. An unfaithful kala. It's not just about not doing what you're supposed to do. It's not just about violating the agreement that we have. There's a bris, there's a covenant. There's a relationship of love. When I was growing up, there was a ridiculous song. I remember the name of the mutations who sang it. There was a song, and for whatever reason that I still ask Hashem why it is, but have stayed with me. I can't remember yesterday's Tosfos, but this I remember. And there was a part of that song where the words were, "This diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore. This diamond ring doesn't mean what it meant before." Meaning when the girl saw that the wife saw that the husband was not faithful, something went wrong, she said, "This diamond ring doesn't shine. It doesn't shine anymore. And this diamond ring doesn't mean what it meant before." You know how many wives there are in the world that feel that? 20, 30, 40 years into the marriage, sometimes 20 weeks into the marriage. Now, how many husbands feel that? Everything is being done. All the mitzvahs are of the husband and wife. All the dinim and shulchan aruch are being kept. Bloishosu ish edyo olav means that the adornment, the ring, the jewelry of the kala, the ring, is missing. That ring means something else. You know what it means? Let's have this what it means. The nature of a person is that davka of those things in life that are not written anywhere, there's no Torah Shabbat, not even a Torah Shabbat Peh that was written. That those things that are not written become the most important things in a person's life. Let me give you an example. Let's say a woman has the misfortune of being married to a guy who doesn't bring home parnas. He's low yutzla, a batlan, whatever reason. He's not working hard. He's a shlamazel. It doesn't go. He doesn't bring home parnas. And as a result of his failure to do that, the woman is living a life of poverty. Now this person who does not support his wife financially, tagiduli, is he in violation of anything that's written? Of course he is. The ksuba says even the finances, right? I will give you a parnasa. I'll give you what to eat. This guy doesn't do that. She goes to run around looking for some jobs. And he's at home, he's a batlan, he doesn't have a cheshik, he doesn't feel well. Whatever it is, he's not a hard worker. That means that he is living in this marriage in violation of what's written to the Farish in the Ksuba. And she has the right to take out the Ksuba and to point to those words and to say, "What's with you? You had Aedis over here, and there was a Kenyan that you're going to support me. I'm supporting you. You're not working." And she's very upset. And she has the right to be. It's a beferish ksuba. It's not just the ksuba. It's a Mishnah and a Gemara. We're talking about a din, a halacha, of responsibility in marriage. So she has the right to be upset. Now I know women like this. I know marriages like that, where the panosa is not gone. And it's befeirish that he has to take care of that. But I also deal almost every week with other situations where the guy is bringing home daiva hoisa. You know what that means? Lots of money. And she has not only what she needs, what she doesn't need. And the panosa that's written in the ksuba is givaldic. And he's living up to Ezuna Farms. He's living up to, "I will give you food and I'll give you parnasa." He's living up to everything the Torah has asked of him. In Eila Mishpatim, in Nasir and Nishma, this guy is rated top. Top rated. You know what this happened with the get, with the taxi, right? So I had a taxi today, it was an Arab driver. And we were halfway there, and he asked me, "Are you going to give me a good rating? Can I give you a rating?" So I said, "I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you a 5.5 if you don't kill me. I said, the Lord said, honey, I hate you. I said, okay, just remember, I'll give you a 5 and a half, don't kill me. So this guy is doing very well. You give him this wife, raise him, he's on the farm, he says, 5 plus. Mamish, he's doing great. The only problem is, and I have at least 3 or 4 calls a week, people from all over. Because many people don't want to speak to their rabbi because they're embarrassed. That a wife found something on her husband's phone. And I'm not talking about a stock market price, you understand. The wife finds something on the husband's phone. She calls me up and she says, I want to go to Besdin. I can't live with such a person. But I saw on the phone, so disgusting. I can't live with him. I want a divorce. I want to get. It's the guy Ketaina. Where does it say you look super that I want to have a look at some pictures? Ah, he made such an agreement with you? He said, hey, maybe I have such a thing with the Bayer Island, the Ketaina, the Rice, the Rabbanan, and the Shmaya, whatever you want to say. I never signed in the Ksuba that I'm not going to have a look at a picture. I never signed in the Ksuba I'm not going to have a chat or a group or whatever, something like that with some other people that I'm not married to. I never signed in the Ksuba. It doesn't say that. There was no Adis, there was no Kenyan on such a thing. What do you have a tiny against me? Whatever I have is with the Baruch Shalom, not with you. So here's an interesting thing. Think about it. When it comes to what was written by Feirish, right? In the Ksuba, that you're going to take care, you're going to give me to eat and support me. This guy, the other guy, he doesn't take care of her. And in most cases, the woman is annoyed, but he's, you know, okay, they'll make it to the end zone, you know? She'll live with him. He's a good guy, he's a sweet guy, he's a little bit of a lawyer's son. He doesn't make much of a parnasa, but he's a good guy, he's an erlich guy. And in most cases, even though it's written b'feirush, it's a deraisa, and it's written on the ksuba. She doesn't say, I'm going to Besdin. I'm taking the Besdin, I have my ksuba, and I'm going to Besdin. This guy doesn't support me. Most of the time, without other complications, there are other complications, but just that alone, mistadrim. They make it. I deal with these things all the time with people. But one time she found something on the phone. She found something on the phone. She throws off her ring. I'm talking about real stories, guys. I'm not talking about make-believe. She throws off her ring. She never heard that silly song, but she throws off the ring. This ring doesn't mean anything to me anymore. How could you? How could you? And he says, there's the same place in the Mishnah. It's not written anywhere in the Ksuba. It's not in Torah Shavasav. It's not in Torah Shabbat Peh. You know where it is? It's in Shir Hashir. It's not in Kol Hadvarim HaEilim. It's what's called Anoichi Hashem HaKeh. It's not that part of life that is the manual of rules and regulations. There are many, many B'nai Torah that they spend their lives in a good way learning the rules and regulations. And on the very same day that they're learning the rules and regulations, on the very same day that they're reading the Ksuba, and they did what they were supposed to, Alpi Halacha, Kol Advarim Ha'Eilah, which is a great accomplishment. But Hashem Elokecha, Shir Hashirim, a relationship, a bris, a covenant, a heritage, a feeling, something after something. With the Bari Arvon. You see, when it comes to Shoivim, Chavulis, Shoivim is not Torah Shavuksav, it's not Torah Shavuksav. You know where it comes from? When the Baruch Hu created the world, Vahara, Hashem's Kol HaShavuksav, which is Toiv Ma'od. The Baruch Hu looked at everything he created and he said, Tov Ma'od, Tov Ma'od, it's beautiful. You know where Shoivim comes from? Loi toiv hayoyis ha'adam levado. That means Hashem did not create us to be creatures who think only about satisfying themselves, about pleasuring themselves and gratifying themselves. Loi toiv hayoyis ha'adam levado. Doesn't say in the Ksuba. Toiv ma'ay. Where does it say in the Torah that when you meet another person, especially if it's somebody who is estranged or might feel uncomfortable, where does it say that you should smile to that person? It says you saw such a pasuk. Maybe by Yehuda, by the Brach attack, it said. But even that's not the simple pshat. Rashi says of it. Venshinai. Where does it say to smile? Where's the saying the Torah to sing your little kid a lullaby when you put him to sleep or her to sleep? It says such a pussy. If it would say such a pussy, there would be all kinds of dreams and tears and kapulim, and nobody would do it. Because wherever there's something that's written, nobody wants to do it. They learn about it. And maybe they try to do it. But if it would say that you're chayiv to look up, my wife and I went out to eat the other night. It was one of the luxuries of our sabbatical. So we went someplace to eat in a very, very religious kosher place. Everything there was mahadim and mahadim and mahadim and mahadim. And the only people who were actually communicating on some level were the ones who were eating. Because every now and then they would look up from their food. And that's a form of communication. Everybody else who was in the restaurant, they said to my wife, see a naichure. I didn't actually say that. Look up and see. Look around you. There are around 12 tables of people. Every single one. And this was family night, you understand? This was family night. Husbands and wives. Some of them were kids. Every single person, everyone, was on the phone. In their own world. Kedaba Ishal Re'ei. That's why they get married. That's why you had children. Is anything written like that? As long as everything there is kosher, and they're not looking at bad things, clearly. He's checking his email. The kid's looking at a game. The wife's looking at something from one of the kids or a friend. Christ, it's not nothing. The ksuba is intact. It's not written in the ksuba anywhere. Where does it say in the ksuba? Says somewhere in the ksuba you can't do that. You can't sit in a restaurant and look at a piece of glass shining in your face. It says such a thing. It doesn't say such a thing. But the emes, pnimius, in the bris that a husband and wife have with each other from under the chuppah, in the bris that parents have with their children, take off the ring and throw it into your pastrami sandwich. Because they look up for the pastrami sandwich, you know that, every now and then. They want to see who's winning. Who's ahead. But the bris, the keshen. So you want to know what shayivim is? Because a couple of chavrim have asked me over the last couple of weeks, what's shayivim? Tell us shayivim. And in shul, we learned about it in shul, the makaris and so on, and some of the tikkunim that the tzaddikim have with shayivim. We're not on a level to fast like that. We're not rolling in the snow. This is not for us. The tikkun of shayivim is the Baruch Shalom says there are things that I want to have with you that I didn't write in the Mishnah Berurah. It doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not written in the Ksuba, but it's the underlying essence. It's the reason that there is a Mishnah Berurah. It's the reason that Hashem gave us Kol Hadavarim Ha'elah. When it says the pasuk Lo Yitayv Hayoyis Ha'adam Levada, and about that inyan that of Kedusha, where it says Ra Beinei Hashem, the Baruch Shalom is saying, I didn't write this in Teresh B'Chsav and Teresh B'Chpeh because it's something very intimate and personal between us. There's a bris. There's a covenant. And during this time of the year when we left Mitzrayim and these parashiyas, Azachar T'lo Chesed Nuraich, Ahavas K'lo L'Asai, Lechtech Acharai B'Midbar, Azachar T'lo Chesed Nuraich, Ahavas K'lo L'Asai, when the Baruch Shalom takes us back and somehow in some way we're transported to that chuppah, And we're back with him under the chuppah. The Baruch Shalom says to us, everything in the world around you and us breaks and ends. But Ahavas Olam Ahavtich, my love for you is eternal. The mountains will crumble. The world can fall apart. The glasses are broken. But the love between us is forever. And this union of Kedusha, that Hashem Baruch is testing this last generation, which is why he revealed Shoyavim, this union of trying to be better, which I told some Chevra the other day, which I heard from an Elohi that he heard from a tzaddik, who said that in our days a tzaddik is a person who's not messiahish. Not the tzaddik of the Tanya or anything like that. A person who's not messiahish is already in the parish of a tzaddik. That means that no matter what has gone wrong, in that inyan of Rabbi Hashem, the tikkun of shayvim is that a person remembers that the tachlis of my being in this world is not something that I can read about in a book. Everybody's looking for that book. And you didn't see it in any Gemara that you learned so far this year or last year or next year. But if you're missing this in your Yiddishkeit, if you're missing this sense of Kedusha, if you're missing this desire to live a life that's clean, that's pure, that's toiv ma'ayid, that's the opposite of loy toiv heyay sa'odim levada, to have a kesher of depth with your wife and to be faithful to your wives in Mitzvah till 120, and to be faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu till 120 in the deepest way, not just in terms of the halachas that you keep, not just because you know what it says in the Mishnah, because you know that the tachlis of all of that is anachas shemakachas, that there should be a relationship. And the kivyochol takes it personally. Dafka with those things that are not written, seems that the person gets hurt the most. The things that are written. So going back to the original question, we already had Elul and Tishrei. We already finished up with the tshuva business. What's nochamol, the whole business of shoyim? The teretz is, it's true. The inyan of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the big avodah was Chatos Yavisi Pashati, and we ask Hashem Hashiveinu Hashem Alach of Nashuva, and the Baruch Shalom, we move back together, we're together again, we come home and we're together again, and that's Elul and Tishrei, and being in the house, there are bulbs that are fixed, that are put in. And there are sinks that the drip is fixed. And we keep all the halachas and we do our best. But we have to take a look now back and ask ourselves, who are we? And why are we here? Who are you and why are you here? That's Shoyim. And the answer to the question of who are you and why are you here is that you're a Jew. And you're here not just to keep the do's and the don'ts. That's out, of course, to keep. But not just. But the whole tachlis of that is bris, is shir hashir, is ahav, is kedusha. Kedusha. It's not written. Sometimes a person dresses a certain way. It's not written. It could be that passes the inspection of the, you know, the sneeze patrol person. Whatever it is, it passes the inspection. It's not it. That person is trying to keep the halachas. So it could be that dress or that thing is the exact length, and the person had the ruler and so on, and it fits the specifications of halacha. But the tzura is not a tzura of achesika. I can't talk much about this. You understand? The way you talk. Who are you? And why are you here? It's not just a matter of what it says. Who are you and why are you here? So let me end with a story. Please be mindful of me if you're taking so long a time. I told you I'm more rested, but that's it. Some of you, I'm sure, know this Maisa. It's a well-known story. I've told it many times, but it's one of my favorites. So I want to share it with you. And even if you heard it before, it's okay. Everybody here knows that Rabbi Nachman said that by the Goyim, they tell the stories to put the children to sleep, and by Jews, we tell stories to keep the children awake. So this is a story to keep Jews awake. There were two tzaddikim that when they were boys, from the time they were in the world, they were their closest friends. It was like Mamish, David, Yonis. So Triska Magid, Schusi Galena. Rabbi Avraham Lov of Trisk. And Rabbi Mendel of Worka. The son of Rabbi Yitzhak Worka. Trisk is the son of the Holy Chernobyl. These two are Mamish, Yidide Nefesh. David and Yonis, inseparable. And they grew up, and each one was like a fiery tzaddik. And it came time to get married, and it came time for each one to find his place in the world. And at the beginning, and I heard this, and later on I saw it somewhere, but I don't know where the story comes from originally. But in the beginning of their careers as tzaddikim, they were separated by a forest. They wanted to be near each other. So they lived in villages that were separated by a forest. You know the Maisa? They lived in these two villages. And because of the Ahava, there was an agreement that they made that every Arab Shabbos they were going to send each other a letter. Now there were no emails. There wasn't even regular mail going there. So there was a Jew. There was a Jew that lived over there by Remendela. By Remendela of Orca, there was a Jew who was very excited, and he volunteered to be the one who would deliver every Arab Shabbos. Because you can go back and forth. It was like 3 hours back and forth to walk. And this Yid volunteered that he would be the shliach to take the letter from the Vorka to the Trisk, and back then the Trisk would write a letter back to remember the Vorka. And the whole town was jealous of him, it was a chashuv job, and he got the job as a simple Yid. And he did this, no matter what, you know, it gets very cold over there. Every Arab Shabbos, he would come with a letter, and he would bring it over to the Triska Magid. Triska Magid would look at the letter, and then he'd go in the back, and he'd write something, and that. And he went back and forth. He made it in time. Shabbos, the short days like now, it's very hard to make it for Shabbos. He made it. It's a big deal. So one time after he's doing this for quite a bit of time, this Jew got into his head. He was curious, you know. He wanted to see what does the tzaddik, what does one tzaddik write to another tzaddik. He wanted to see. Now you know you're not allowed to do that. Not to read somebody else's mail. Chayim from a Ben Gesh. Not to do such a thing. And, you know, what could he do? He couldn't help himself. And he was in the forest, whatever, and there's nobody there. He opens up the letter from Rabbi Mendel of Orca, and he opens up and he takes out the paper inside. His hands were shaking. And he sees what? There's a blank piece of paper. Completely blank. He couldn't believe it. How could it be such a thing? It was like a game that he's playing with me, a game. I give my whole Arab Shabbos ready for whatever, a couple of years. But a blank piece of paper. I had in the corner, Bez Hashem's book, you know, and then it was blank. The whole thing. Not a date, not even a word. So he put it into the thing and closed it up to look like it wasn't open. And he was very tzibroch, and he was disgusted. And he went and he brought the letter to Triskim. I was very excited when he came. Oh, Moshe, come on, come in. Oh, he brought a letter. He takes the letter and he goes on the side and he opens the letter and he looks at it and he sees that the Triska Magid's eyes are all red. It's crazy. He says, wait a few minutes, give me a few minutes. He goes to the back for like a half hour. He comes back with an envelope. He says, take this to Mendel Vorka, gives him the high, go in good health. He should get back in time for Shabbos. The guy, this time he doesn't wait till he's in the middle of the forest. The second he gets a few steps away, he's dead. So he wants to see how he answered a letter like the one that he got. What kind of answer was there? So he opens up the envelope, he takes out a piece of paper, blank. because they're crazy people. This is not all of my life. Also, says on top, there's Hashem as well. He's lying. He goes back. He comes back to Ramel Lavork. Ramel Lavork is waiting for him. Ah, good. It's almost Shabbos. Good morning, Shabbos Hashem. Come, come. And Ramel, and the Yid just gives the envelope and he says, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. He didn't want to look at the Rebbe. And he didn't come to Daven for the first time in years. He didn't come to Daven there with the Rebbe. And the Rebbe understood something. He didn't come there. And the Rebbe told the Chassidim, he didn't come Friday night, he didn't come Shabbos, because I want to bring Moshe Mazel Shabbos. He should come. I want to talk to him. He didn't want to go. But the Rebbe said, oh, so he came. And he comes there to the Rebbe. And Rebbe Mendel of Urke asks him, says, Moshe, what's something's wrong? I see. Naflu Panacha. What's wrong? He says, Rebbe, you want to know what's wrong? Seriously. I'll tell you what's wrong. For the last, whatever, 2-3 years, I go every Erev Shabbos. It means I leave my family. I lose my pronouns. I go every Erev Shabbos to take a letter between you and the Triskanai. He says, yeah, I appreciate it. I always tell you how much I appreciate it. I'm sorry I didn't have air this morning. I opened up your letter. And my little brother said, ah. And what did you read in the letter? So what I read in the letter, there was nothing in the letter. That's it. You know there was nothing in the letter. And then to make matters worse, I took it to Triskemagid. He looks at your piece of paper, he's crying like a baby. Goes in the back. For half an hour he keeps me waiting there, and then he gives me a paper. I look at his paper too. The second I get into the woods, I look at the paper, also blank. So I'd like to understand what kind of game you're playing with me. So Mendel of Urke says to him, listen, Maish, I'm telling you it's true. You know that the Torah is written, there are black letters, you know that there are black letters that are written upon the parchment. The parchment is white. But you also know and you've heard that the deepest secrets of the Torah are not to be found in the letters, it's to be found in the white spaces in between. In all the drushes of the Chacham and all the tzaddikim of the generations, the deepest story of God's love for us is found out in the white spaces, not in the black letters. So I want you to know, Moshe, don't feel bad. 95% of the time we write each other regular letters with black races. 95% of the time with the black races. Regular letters. Sometimes when I miss him in such a way, and the feeling of that connection is so deep and the love is so strong, I can't find those words. So I send him just the parchment. I send him the white space in between the oases. And that was the letter that we sent to each other, this past Erev Shabbos. One of the sweetest letters that I ever got when people used to send regular letters. There's a Talmud of mine who was here in Eretz Yisrael, he was learning in Yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael, and I hadn't heard from him for a long time, I was disappointed. And finally I got a letter from him, and I opened up the letter, and it just said on top, Bez Hashem is Baruch. And on the bottom it said just his name. Love, it said his name. I mean, I was hoping to hear more. But he knew the story. He knew the story of Menu Baruch and Tuskamah. And I still have that letter. I saved that letter. I hope you understand what I'm trying to give along to you. It's very hard to put into words. I don't have the ICS for it. I'm talking about something higher than letters, something that guys at your time of life are thinking about who you are and what you're doing here should be able to understand. And Hashem as well should help me and you and all of us to hear Hashem say to us, Shuvu banam, shayvim, shuvu elai, shuvu elaych. Return to me. Not just to do my will, but return to me the Emes, Kedusha and Tahara, and I'll be yours forever. And the time will come when we're going to stand under the big chuppah here in Yerushalayim, Oid Yishama Barare Yehuda, Rechutzas Yerushalayim. We'll be zeichet to see that big chasna of Dov Malka Meshicha, of the Gula Shabbat Mitzvah, Mehenu Amen. Amen.